The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for making us your children. For making us one with you. For the privilege and the blessing to be called your own. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to serve, to love you, to be united with you in fellowship. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And this evening, Lord, we receive in this place and across all our centers tuned into this meeting, the teaching of the word and the free flow of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, may we not live here the same. And may we all leave this place different people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So are you ready to be blessed this evening? Let me ask you again. Are you ready to be blessed? Okay, you are still not in church. Are you ready to be blessed? Some of you have come. So are you ready now to be blessed? Okay. Some other people joined. So let me see if all of us are going to attend church today. So are you ready to be blessed?
Yes.
You don't ever come to church without your voice. I told you on Sunday, your voice is the only way you connect to everything I'm saying. If I say you are blessed, there is no guarantee that you'll be blessed until you say that you'll be blessed. And that's why words like amen are very powerful words. Are you following me? That's why words like amen. If I bless you and you don't say amen, you're not going to be blessed. And that's not because I'm not powerful. That's because I don't have a right to force something on you. If I can put something on you, you must agree with whatever I'm putting on you. And the way to agree with what I'm putting on you is by saying amen. And so, while in church, you must learn how to talk. Are you following me? You must learn how to talk. The same way with following the service. The way to follow the service is that you must engage your entire being. I say this all the time. So, you must be ready to talk. You must be ready to shout. Hallelujah. The temple is a place where we shout. The Bible said, everyone that is in his temple shouts. Aha, you have it. Everyone in his temple shouts glory. So the temple is not a place where we keep quiet. We shout, we scream. Hallelujah. Today I'll be bringing a single teaching on what I titled, Doing the Greater Works. Hallelujah. Doing the Greater Works. Doing the Greater Works. Are we ready to do the Greater Works? Doing the Greater Works. And this teaching is going to bless you tremendously. And it's going to set you on course and challenge you to do what God has asked you to do. Hallelujah. Doing the greater works. John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus speaking to his disciples shortly before he would go to the cross. Yeah. In fact, the book of John and John 14, John 15, John 16, John 17. Those who are like the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he went. And then he told them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So Jesus promises that if you believe in him, and as we have believed in him, we have the capacity to do the same work that he did. And in case you don't know the works Jesus did, I will tell you.
Acts 10 verse 38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Glory to God. So you're looking for the works that Jesus did. Jesus was a healer. You're looking for the works Jesus did. Jesus was a teacher. You're looking for the works that he did. He was a deliverer. He raised the dead. Are you getting the point? He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He walked on water. He worked miracles here on earth. And those were the works that he did. And he's telling us the same works that I did, he said you shall be able to do. That's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. The same works that I did, you will be able to do. The same way I stopped deaf ears, you will be able to do it. The Bible tells us that as Jesus will be coming, demon possessed people will see him from far and they'll begin to run. Are you following me? And he said, those works, you will be able to do. And notice the criteria and the qualification for doing these works. Those that believe in my name. And so the believer is entitled and has capacity to do the exact same works that Jesus did. Are you following me? Those that believe in me, John 14 verse 12. He that believeth on me, the same works. So, everything you see that Jesus did in the four gospels, he's saying you have capacity to do same. Since I have capacity to do the works of Jesus. Every work you see Jesus do, or you saw him doing the four gospels, you have capacity. The man walked on water. And it wasn't just that he walked on water. I've explained that miracle to you. It wasn't just that he walked on water. He left his disciples in the evening and they started sailing. And around 3 a.m., he caught up with them with his two legs. And that's a powerful miracle. Hallelujah. And he's saying the same works that I do, the same works that I do, we can now say the same works I did. Hallelujah. Because I was talking to disciples, the works I'm doing now, if you believe in me, you will be able to do the same. And so talking about miracles, that's not my assignment today, but talking about miracles, there is nothing that the believer cannot do. Except it was bigger than Jesus on earth. You're not following me at all. There was nothing. There was nothing Jesus could not do, so there is nothing the believer cannot do. The believer can raise the dead. The believer can raise the dead even after 4 days. Where did we learn that from? We learned it from Jesus and how he brought Lazarus back to life again. The same works met a woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years and did not even pray. It was the woman that touched. She was healed. And we've had that same testimony in this ministry. So way 2018, was it? The first day of the meeting. A lady came into that meeting and she said she's been hemorrhaging for years. When I mean, say from the time, almost from the time when she started seeing her period, she was at her 3rd year or so, said she has been on her period from that time till we were speaking. Every day. The devil is a bad devil. She takes drugs. She said to me, "Said they've taken me to every kind of crusade you can think of." She said to me, even when Pastor Benny came to Nigeria, they took me to that crusade. Hallelujah. To get healing. But that first night, we didn't even pray for the sick. But I picked it by the Spirit and I said, "There's someone here that had an issue to do with blood. And Jesus is healing you right now." And she didn't share the testimony till the last day because she wanted to be sure. She dried up completely. Because the same works that Jesus did, we will be able to do. Are you following me? The same works. The same works. And it's a promise. The same works I do, the works that I do, he shall do. He will do also. But then, Jesus now goes further, which is my emphasis today. And he says, greater works than these shall he do. And when I was younger, every time I read this verse, I get scared. You hear the point? Which other greater works? Do you know the kind of miracles Jesus worked? Which other greater works? Which greater work can be greater than raising a man after 4 days? Which work can be greater than a man walking on water? Are you getting the point? Which work can be greater than a man disappearing? Jesus was that powerful. One of those days they carried him and led him out to a high mountain to push him down. Bible said he walked away from them. They couldn't touch him. The man was not anointed. They met him and they said, they came to arrest him. And he asked them a simple question, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, it is me. They fell down. The guy was that. He said, why are you looking for Jesus? Is it not Jesus? You're like, it's me now. They collapsed. That will even tell you that Jesus' death was a voluntary thing. He just wanted to die for you. If he didn't want to die, he would have walked out from them. It's not what happened. What is she? Glory to God. He would have walked out from them. Who are you looking for? They said, I'm looking for Jesus. Boom. They fell down. Many times they will come to catch him. He will walk away from them. You know, when they came to arrest him, he said, you guys are coming to arrest him with knives and swords. He said, I was with you guys every day in the temple teaching. You couldn't catch me. So why come with all these knives? If not that I want to go. Hallelujah. He was anointed. But you see, Peter was overwhelmed. He said, how God anointed him. How God, he was thinking about this. The way God anointed this man, it was too much. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? God was with him. So everything Jesus did, we can be able to do. He now said greater works. So the question is, which work is greater than raising the dead? Which work is greater than walking on water? Which work is greater than multiplying 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? Which work is greater than that? Which work can be greater than a man disappearing at will? Are you following me? What other greater work can we do? And we can see a clue from what he said. Because we're going to study this verse to see the greater works. He said, greater works than this shall he do. Why? Talk back to me. Why? Because I go unto my Father. So why are we going to be able to do greater works? Do you have a voice? Because he will go to his Father. So we're going to look at that statement very closely. Because if we can unravel that statement, we can find out what he meant by you do greater works. In other words, you guys are not able to do these greater works because I've not gone to my Father. Once I go to my Father, you guys will be able to do greater works. So, what did he mean by, because I go to my Father? We're going to drop back a little. This is John 14. So, just get to verse 1. Get to verse 1. What did he mean by, before I get to my Father? We're going to look at the pretext and look at the post-text. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house, glory to God, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He now said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in verse 3, he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, that where I am, be here, watch closely, that where I am, ye may be also. So he's saying, be there, be there, be there. He's saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I'm done preparing a place for you, I will come and take you. What will be the purpose of this taking? That where I am, you may be also. So in other words, the purpose of this coming to take you is oneness. I want us to occupy the same place. Do you follow to this point? Now, next verse. I want us to occupy the same place. He said, and where I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Of course, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, you know. So how can we know the way? Jesus now answered in verse 6. Read with me, everybody. I am the way, the truth, and no one cometh. So where was Jesus going to when he said, I am going to prepare a place for you? To the Father. I follow you to this point. He was going to the Father. His destination was the Father. So he said, I am going to the Father.
In other words, when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am may also be, he's saying, I am going to the Father, and I'm going there to make it possible that where I am, where will he be? With the Father. That I will make it possible for you and I to be in the Father. I will make room in the Father for you. Come on, I follow you. I'll make it possible for you to be in the Father. So you continue, well, no one coming to the Father but by me. In verse 7, he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. In verse 8, he said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. He was still trying to explain something to them. They have not still gotten the message. Lord, show us the Father. And he said to us. Now, what follows next? Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me, has seen who? Has seen who? If you see me, you've seen the Father. So watch this story. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Then, so that where I am, you may also be. I thought, well, you guys already know where I'm going to. Philip said, well, let me speak for myself. I don't know where you're going to. And he explained to him, I am the way to the life. No one comes to the Father. I'm going to the Father. But he didn't stop there. He kept explaining to him that he that have seen me, in other words, I am going to my Father. In reality, I am that Father. Are you following me? If you see me, you've seen the Father. Well, I am going to him, but I am him. And I'm going to make it possible for you to come into him. So what he was saying is, I will make it possible for you to come into me. Who is following me at all? Watch closely. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? See verse 10. See verse 10. Next verse. Come on. Believers know that I am in the Father and the Father in me. In other words, I am in the Father. The Father is in me. I am the way to the Father. No one cometh to the Father but through me, because I am the Father and the Father is me. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. So when I prepare a place for you, I will make it possible that where I am, you may also be. So where is he? Huh? So when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, what was he talking about? I will go and make it possible for you to come into the Father, or for you to come into me, or for me, you and the Father to become one. Are you following? So in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's not talking about what will happen when Jesus will come back and take us to go and be with the Father. No. Right now, when he died and rose again, he has prepared that place. And we now have a place in the Father. We now have a place in Jesus. And we are now one with him. If you are still, let's say amen. And so, hurry up to verse 19. Hurry up to verse 19. Glory to God. Jesus was still talking. So, this was what led to that verse 12. When I told them, greater works shall I do, shall you do, because I go to my Father. He first told them what he meant. Now, verse 19. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Next verse, everybody read with me. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In other words, that day, when I shall rise from the dead, because notice verse 19, he said, that which day is he talking about? In verse 19. Read verse 19, everybody. A little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. So it is the day he will live, the day he will rise from the dead. Are you following me at all? That day, you shall be in the Father. I shall be in you, and you shall be in me. In other words, that day, the Father, the Son, and the believer will become one. Are you following me? Do you follow to this point? Do you follow to this point? So when he rose from the dead, he rose to now sit at the Father's right hand. We see that in places like Acts chapter 2 verse 30. He rose to sit there. Acts chapter 2 verse 30, quickly. Acts chapter Apostles 2 and verse 30. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He was talking about David. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Glory to God. We all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. So, where is Jesus seated now? Right hand of God. That's what he said. Where is he seated? Where is he seated? Right hand of God, right? Right hand of God. According to John, where is he? In the Father. Do you understand? Okay, let me take it a step further. According to John, where are we? In the Father, in him. So, is the right hand of God different from in the Father? Is it? It's not. It's just different ways of explaining the same thing. So, you read places like Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. You see that we are seated with him in heavenly places. We are seated with him in heavenly places. In heavenly places. So that right hand of the Father, that heavenly places, that in the Father, that mansion is repairing, that house, Father's house is going to, all of them talk about the same thing. A place in the Father. Is it very clear? So he says, because I will go to the right hand of the Father, or because I am going to the Father, or because I will sit in heavenly places, I follow him. Because of that, greater works than these shall you do. If I see, I say amen. Hallelujah. So we are now seated with him. Because of that oneness. So the greater works will be made possible by Jesus dying, resurrecting, and sitting with the Father. Let me ask this question again. Let me see if you got it. Where is Jesus seated? Put up John 42 verse 20. Where is Jesus seated? At the right of the Father, right? What other way can you say that? He's in the Father. Right? Okay. What other way can you say that? He's in his Father's house. But he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Are you following? Let me see if you get this. Now, where is the believer? Look at this verse. Where's the believer? Where's the believer? In Christ. Where is Christ according to this verse? In the Father. Also, did you see I in you? I follow him. So, if I say that Christ is in the Father, and I say that Christ is in me, am I saying the same thing? Does it mean I am the Father? No. It means that I and the Father and Christ have become one. Do you understand? I will explain it another way. I do this all the time. I get water from this can, that can, and pour them into the same bucket. The water from this can is in the water from this can. And the water from this can is in the water. They've mixed up together. So at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. So another way of saying that Jesus is in the place, in the right hand of the Father, is to say that he's now sitting in our hearts. Are you following to this point? Another way to say it is that he is in his Father's house. Another way to say it is to say that he is in the Father. You're talking about the same thing. And so, these greater works shall be made possible by Jesus dying, rising from the dead, and ascending to sit at the Father's right hand, or ascending to sit in the Father, or ascending to sit in our hearts. Is it very clear? It's the same thing we're talking about. So when we say Jesus is in the right hand of the Father, it's another way of saying Jesus is in our hearts. Are we the Father? No. But then at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. So where you find the Father, you find the Son. Where you find the Son, you find the believer. Are you following me? You're still here, say amen. Are you here? So he's saying, So whatever work this greater work is, will be made possible when the Father, the Son, and the believer becomes one. Now this is very interesting. You know why it's interesting? Because Jesus did not need to live in our hearts or to ascend to heaven before we are able to raise the dead. Are you following? Because in the Old Testament, Elijah raised the dead, but Jesus was not in his heart. So that is a special kind of work he's talking about here. Elijah's bones raised the dead man without the Holy Ghost in his heart. Dead bones. Moses got to Red Sea, divided Red Sea. The Holy Ghost was in his heart. He was not one with the Father. He was not in the Father's right hand. Jesus was sitting there. He divided Red Sea. Are you following what I'm talking about? So the work Jesus is talking about is definitely not working of miracles. If I let me say this to you. There is no gift of the Spirit apart from tongues and interpretation. There is no gift of the Spirit that the Old Testament says is not flowing. None. Working of miracles. Healing. Prophecy. Which other one? Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Discerning of spirits. Gift of faith. Special faith. These guys had it first hand. Apart from tongues and obviously consequently interpretation. I get the point. So they did everything. Everything. So Jesus did not need to sit at the Father's right hand for them to do those things. Samson stood and tore the mouth of lion into pieces without the Holy Ghost in his heart. They will just act on the power of God. They will just act on the power of God. The Holy Ghost will just come upon them. They will act on the power of God. They didn't need Jesus to live in their hearts. So that's why Jesus told them, without me going to the Father, all the works I did, you shall do. Are you following this evening? But there is this particular one that you cannot do until I go to the Father. That is the greater work. Are you following? There is this greater work you cannot do until resurrection has happened. Pre-resurrection, you can do every other work. Just count on the name of Jesus. Just believe in the power of God. Just exercise the power of God. You can do those works. See the kind of miracles the men of the Old Testament did. Just by believing in that name. That's all they needed. So Jesus is saying, you see the same works I do. I was talking to them. You guys are not even born again. I'm not even living in people's hearts. But the same works I did. You see, he will send them out in twos. He will tell them, go raise the dead. And that's even tell you, miracles are not the greater works. What does that tell you? Miracles are the simplest jobs to be done. Because even men that were not carrying the Holy Ghost inside of them could work miracles. Glory to God. Even men not carrying the Holy Ghost. Even the disciples, Luke 10 verse 17. Higher. Glory, 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 glory. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Wow. These guys were not spirit filled. They were not praying in tongues, but they came back with power, results, and testimonies. But there is a greater work. There is a greater work. I'm going to show you something today that will bless you. It will bless you. It will help you do the greater works and help you do the same works that Jesus did. So what work, before I even get to the Bible, I'll just mention it and we'll get to the Bible. What work notice, even Jesus could not do this work he's talking about because he has not even gone to the Father. Even Jesus, while on earth, could not do it. What work do you think that is?
salvation, making of new creations. It is only by Jesus going to sit at the Father's right hand that men could be saved. So what does Jesus refer to as the greater works? Salvation of men. Because I go to my Father. Because without going to my Father, the dead can rise. Without going to my Father, the blind can see. Without going to my Father, the cripples can walk. But without going to my Father, to sit, to pay for sin. Come on, are you following me at all? No man can be saved. No man can be saved. So the salvation of men are the greater works. And to further show you this, I'll show you John 5 verse 20. John 5 verse 20. Glory to God. For the Father loveth the Son and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works. You notice he mentions greater works again. Did you observe that? So about Father, what the greater works are, he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. In other words, he's saying the Father has shown all these things, but there are greater works he will show. Watch. Continue. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Go back to verse 21. Watch. Put up another translation. Maybe NLT. For just as the Father gives life to those raised from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. So what is the greater works that the Father will do to the Son? The Son giving life to anyone he wants. Start from 20. Go back to 20. Go back to 20 with NLT. Let's read together, everybody. Are you ready? Let's read together. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. So that is, there is a work greater than healing. Then you will truly be astonished. What is that work? Next verse. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. That's the greater work. I follow him. Continue, verse 22. Verse 22. For the Father judged no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. Watch, 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, are you reading with me at all? Being 23, oh. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Now, verse 24, is the icing on the cake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. That's the greater work. The passing of men from darkness to light. Even Jesus on earth could not do this. Why? Because the blood has not been shed. Because the price has not been paid. Are you getting the point? Because the blood has not been carried into the holy place. So the passing of men from darkness into light is the greater work. If I get fully into this, this should do a lot of things to you. One, this should help you take evangelism seriously. But then, this should help you know that it is simple to work miracles. Because those things you call big miracles, Jesus said they are just the works I do. Yeah, let me show you a scripture. This is not my assignment. Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9. But maybe verse 4. Glory to God. Verse 3. Verse 2. Verse 1. Don't mind me. Behold, and behold, being verse 2. They brought to him a certain man, sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Why? Your sins are forgiven. Watch closely. Verse 3. Watch closely. And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves began to say within themselves, this man is blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, this is word of knowledge. Oh. I told you, as a pastor,
You must be anointed with that ability to discern people's thoughts. You get the point? And I can tell you, you can be thinking and I'm hearing your thoughts from here. But most times I preach, and that's why when I preach, it looks like I argue. You notice sometimes you're thinking of something, I've answered in the next statement. Because I hear people's thoughts when I preach. I get the point. It's not this by moonlight. You've heard me say it before. Sometimes I say, somebody's thinking right now. And in fact, somebody's even thinking right now. Let's not go into that. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now, whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven? He's asking them, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk? Which one is easier? Watch, next verse. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, he said to the sick, you arise, take your bed and go home. So he was telling them, I've said this guy's sins are forgiven. And you are complaining. Which one do you think is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or to tell the sick to be healed? Well, to show you that I can actually forgive sin, let me do the simpler one. Guys, stand up and walk. Walking of miracles is simpler than evangelism. I know what I'm saying. It's just that sometimes we complicate by ourselves. Say, yeah, hey, sick person go to say, yeah. It is a bigger, see, the forces you contend with when you go for evangelism are 20 times more than the forces you contend with when a person dies. When a person dies, a person died physically. For you to get somebody, say, you don't know what you're doing. You are going right into hell, confronting the powers of darkness face to face, putting hands in the eyes of the devil, and snatching out his captive. There is no spiritual warfare bigger than that. So I just said your sins are forgiven. You people are complaining. What do you think is easier? Let me show you people something. Young man, get up. Are you following me? And so, you notice, what Jesus calls same works, I'm working of miracles. What he calls greater works, passing of men from darkness into light. Passing men from darkness into light. That is reconciliation. Reconciling men to God. Colossians 1 verse 22. Colossians 1 verse 22. To reconcile men to God. In the body of his flesh through death. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And verse 23. If you continue the faith grounded and all that and all that. So start from 21. I actually want to read 21 and 22. Not 22 first. 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, had he now reconciled. So what he wants to do is to reconcile men to him. That is the greater works. Because as at that time he was on earth, all men on earth were God's enemies. Now, I didn't say God was their enemy. They were God's enemies. They're not the same thing. God wanted man. God loved man. For God so loved the world that he gave. But man was running away from God. Man was distancing himself from God. So God needed to do something that would reconcile man to God. So a man called Jesus had to die for man, that man can now come to God and God can now come to man. It is that particular process and the preaching of that process that is called greater works. Are you following me? It is the preaching of that process that is called greater works. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 12, John said, I write unto you little children, for your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. It is that forgiveness that is called greater works. It is that forgiveness that is called greater works. And so when you engage in winning the lost, when you engage in supernatural ministry of delivering men from darkness into light, you are doing the greater works. And that's the work. That's the work. That's the work. That is warfare. That is work. And I can tell you that the weapon for these greater works is simple. John 5:24. Let me show you the weapon for doing this greater work. John 5:24. Glory to God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life. So, how do people have everlasting life? They hear the word. The word of God is the weapon for the greater works. He that heard my word and believed on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 25, and I tell you these days, we are in the days of verse 25, glory to God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, glory to God, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's talking about physically dead men. We are in the days when spiritually dead men shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and all that hear shall bounce back and check back into life. That's the greater work. And so the weapon is people hearing the voice of the Son of God. And you must be that voice. Are you getting the point? You must be that voice. You must be that voice. You must be that voice. It's when the word is spoken. It is when the word is spoken that people get saved. Romans 1 verse 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So the weapon for this warfare is the gospel. The weapon is the gospel. The weapon for doing these greater works is the gospel. You want to raise the dead. That's the same what Jesus did. Oh, in the name of Jesus, you dead man, come back to life. That's that one. You want to do the greater works, preach the gospel. And I'm going to challenge you that it is the duty of every believer to do the greater works. And those greater works, or that greater works, is the preaching of the gospel. That is the only thing that can turn men from darkness into light. That is the only thing that can liberate men. So imagine Jesus doing all the things he did on earth. He said, well, all these things I did, they are beautiful. You guys will do them. But there is something more I'm reserving for you guys. I will not be able to do it because I will not keep living here. But you will do it. Actually, that work is greater than everything I've done. So, getting a sinner saved is a more greater work than multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so some of you are complaining, I've never worked a miracle in my life. But you go to evangelism every day and get people saved. You are working miracles every day. And it's a big miracle. And I can tell you, if you are just going about healing the sick and giving word of knowledge and prophesying, you are doing nothing yet. Until you begin to do the greater works. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. For therein, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. You see, friends, if we can step out and begin to preach the gospel, we are doing a lot of works for Jesus. You know, I told you, whenever I teach you guys, I told you guys, the way God rates things and the way a man rates are not the same. I get the point. We can hit the streets now. If you do a crusade now and 30 cripples come back to life, and they will happen, hallelujah. But the whole world will be shouting, wow, see power, see power. Can I say to you, heaven is also excited that we're using the power of God. But if we hold a crusade and 30 people get saved, everyone will just say, wow, 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 because we don't know how heaven sees things. God sees those ones as the same works. If I just even said it is easier to forgive a sinner. Think about it. What process works miracle? The power of God. Simple. What process gets a sinner saved? Jesus had to die, go to the cross, and rise. So which one is easier? I don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus had to die, rise, after all that, sit at the Father's right hand, before this one was possible. The other one, even Abraham, flowed in the power of God. The wombs of Abimelech were shut. And God told him, go and meet Abraham, let him pray for you. The man is a prophet. If I let me even shock you, who told Abimelech to go and meet Abraham? Eh? He had a vision. An angel appeared to him. So even what you call seeing visions that will celebrate, a total stark unbeliever had a vision. Are you following me at all? Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a total unbeliever, had a vision. He saw an angel. The vision was so forensic. The angel told him Peter's name, told him the exact address where Peter was. He was an unbeliever. He was a total unbeliever, but he filled in the power of God. He saw visions. So most times the church, we are celebrating things and we leave the major thing because we are looking for the spectacular. Most times God is not in the spectacular. Most times the supernatural is simple. You get the point? Most times what we call mighty move of God, most times they're not even the move of God. Elijah saw fire, but God was not in the fire. First Kings 18. He saw wind, God was not there. He saw earthquake, he saw thunder, but God was not there. And he heard a small still voice. God is not always in the noise. Are you following me? The simplest job of preaching the gospel is a bigger work, bigger miracle, greater works than raising the dead. While I don't talk down on the power of God, you know I'm big on the power of God, hallelujah. I'm big on miracles. But I tell you, with all the miracles you can ever walk, it is still a bigger miracle to save sinners. And that's why I'm going to tell some of you that go for evangelism. You go for evangelism, you get people saved, and then you did not see maybe a blind person to pray for or to heal. Come back, you did a great work. A greater work. And I tell you, you go and heal all the blind people and you did not get any of them saved. You did nothing. Because all the people that Jesus healed in the Bible, if they didn't get born again after, all of them are in hell currently as we talk. As we talk now. Dancing and just. Hallelujah. So the weapon is the gospel. The weapon is the gospel. So we have a vision this year. But I know all our sinners are tuned into the service. This is our year of supernatural ministry. You remember? And I want to charge you that the most supernatural ministry you can ever do is to preach the gospel. That is what is supernatural. While we will do the same works that he did, there is a greater job somewhere. There is a greater work somewhere. There is a liberating of men from the kingdom of darkness and translating them into the kingdom of his dear son. When Paul was narrating his encounter with Jesus in Acts chapter 26, he was narrating that encounter to is it Felix or Agrippa? Hallelujah. Verse 12. Acts 26 verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and then we journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. You know, I like this place. God was talking to him in the Hebrew tongue. So God can talk to you in the Igbo tongue. Hallelujah. He can talk to you in Pidgin English. Glory to God. He can talk to you in Nsukka dialect. Hallelujah. God can tell you in Nsukka dialect. So he spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. So which tongue have you heard God? What tongue have you heard God for? But let me find out who has said God in another tongue that is not English, or have you got your native tongue? And if God talks to you like that, write it like that. So I heard God in the Hebrew tongue. Hallelujah. Reverend Jesus Adeboye will say, I heard God in the Yoruba tongue. I said, I like that. So you can hear God in the Igbo language. God speaks all languages. So he said, I heard him in the Hebrew tongue. In the Hebrew tongue. Saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You see, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now pay attention to verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now look at the reason why God called Paul saved. Why all the drama happened. To make thee a witness, a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee. This is a very powerful thing. Being that 17. I will deliver you from the people. And I will send you to the people. So all of us are here as darkness. But I will deliver you from them. Make you light. And send you back to that darkness. No longer to become part of that darkness. But to now become light. I will deliver you from the Gentiles. And I will send you to the Gentiles. What will you do when you get there? Verse 18. To open their eyes. To open their eyes. And turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is why God calls God Paul. To deliver him and send him back. To go and preach the forgiveness of sin. So the reason. Listen. Paul worked miracles. But the reason God called Paul and saved him was not to work miracles. That's why it's funny when I hear people say things like, I'm not a teacher of the word, I'm not a preacher, I'm a prophet. That's a very nonsense thing to say. Every human being that is a believer should preach and teach the word to the end that people are saved. You can't even say, I'm a pastor, I don't do this evangelism thing. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, he told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Talking to a pastor. So that is the work of an evangelist. I get to the point. He said, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. So the work of an evangelist is how to make full proof of your ministry. I'm going to challenge you to step into the streets and begin to do the greater works that he has given unto us. Are you getting me? The greater works. I can give you a very simple knowledge. Everybody that has believed the gospel can share the gospel. And the gospel is as powerful in the mouth of the youngest believer as it is in the mouth of the oldest believer. In other words, if you get born again today and share the gospel with somebody today, that gospel carries power. The reason is because the power of the gospel is not in the speaker. The power of the gospel is in the gospel. Hiya. You're not following me at all. The power of the gospel is not in the speaker. The power of the gospel is in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. It, not you. Who's following me at all? And so you do not see, no matter where you get in this life, never outgrow doing the greater works. So the same way power they sweet you, it is sweet you to work miracles, it is sweet you to heal the sick, it is sweet you to prophesy, it's supposed to sweet you too. And much more to get people saved. If think about this church. If everybody in our church nationwide will get at least one sinner saved every week, at least one sinner every week, get him saved and follow him up and make him a disciple, we can never lack members in church. And much more, the house of God will be filled. But then we tend to forget. We stay for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've not got one person saved. with all the knowledge you have in your head. I want you to know, as I begin to wind down, because I want to see if I can close quite early today, because I know many of our centers are tuning in and many of them have to go back. People like Lagos travel to church. I know they travel to church. And I celebrate Lagos Center a lot. Amen. I do that because where they go to church from, or where they live and where church is, some of them spend 3,000 to be in church every Sunday and every Thursday. And no exaggeration, 3K. So some of you, all these excuses that you have, I cannot be in church because I imagine from that house to this place is far. We pay 450. So I celebrate them. And because of them, I will see if I can close early. Early doesn't mean I'm closing now. I just have to close early. Glory to God. You see, you must know that it is a great privilege to preach the gospel. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege to be doing this big work that God has for us. It's a massive, massive job. It's a massive, massive job. And so, you cannot have this privilege and not use it. You cannot have this privilege and not use it. God cannot do us this honor of preaching His name and we don't use it. I'll show you something. John 20 verse 23. John 20 verse 23. You will see the privilege. You will see the job that God wants us to do. You will see how much God counts on us. You see how much He counts on us. Krevate gabashadia. Keborodos. He said, verse 22, he said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 23, he told them, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That's a lot. I'm going to explain this and I'll close. Jesus told the disciples that anybody's sin you forgive is forgiven. Anybody's sin you put up like NLT, you retain, is retained. NLT said, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive anyone's sins, they are not forgiven. Hallelujah. I love Amplified. I'll read Amplified then later, not now, later I'll read message. Not now, later. So don't put up message yet. Now, having received the Spirit, being led and directed by Him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins. Now, so how do you forgive and how do you retain sins? It doesn't mean you walk up to people and start telling them, I will not forgive you. You will go to hell, I will not forgive your sins. How you forgive people's sins is by offering them forgiveness. How you offer them forgiveness is in the gospel. How you retain people's sin is by denying them the gospel. So there are many people in your street and in your lodge that you are the one retaining their sin. You are the one still keeping them in sin. You don't get the point. You are the one still keeping them in their sin. I wish this message can make you do something. Make a commitment to, even if it is one soul per week. I said even one soul, that of all the people you will meet from Monday to Sunday, you will win at least one of them and sit on the person's head until he becomes a disciple. One. I wish you can make, you say, oh, sir, one is small. Let's even do that one. So I can forgive people's sins. I can retain their sins. And I tell you, there are many that we've been retaining their sins. There are many that we have kept in sin. There are many that we've allowed to remain in their sin. And that's something we normally tell people, those who got born again newly. And I feel like saying it now because it is forever true. There are people that will go to hell because of you. That's the truth. Because you have a roommate, you have a flatmate, you have a classmate who you do assignments with, you do business with, you do everything with, and yet you've not for once presented to that person the gospel. The person is going to go to hell and you will be the cause. He said, is it me that sent him to hell? It's not you. I know, it's you. Because Jesus that died and paid for present sin, but you said, I'm returning. So God gave me the power to forgive sins. The day God taught me, I was sure. I said, that's a lot of demand. That is a lot of responsibility on you. To forgive sins. So you see why Jesus called it the greater works. I wish that one that I'm praying that will happen to you soon. That one day, God will open your eyes to see what happens during salvation. The Lord gave me a pictorial vision of that one of these days. If you see the drama that takes place, forget that it happens in 1 second. If you see the drama that takes place before salvation, how hell crumbles, how heaven erupts into joy, how angels begin to celebrate, how Satan gets tired and angry. If you see the whole drama, how someone turns from darkness into light, how someone totally black to suddenly puts on a new garment and comes out white. If you see that drama, you know that there's a lot to be done. So you are the reason. And think of this. We were saying this when we were younger, and it's always true. Think of your neighbor suddenly getting to hell. And knowing that she would have been in heaven if you had preached to him. The Bible said in Romans 13, he said, "Oh no man, but the debt you owe men is what? Love." So the debt you owe every sinner is to love him. How do you love sinners? By giving them the gospel. So we are debtors to the world. So pay your debt. Are you following me? You know, to say, my debts have been cleared. And they disappear totally. This part of the debts you must pay. Some of you are owing your neighbors, you are owing them the gospel. This is not a joke. Oh. You owe them the gospel. Some of you are owing your classroom. You are owing your village. Your entire community. You are owing your classmates. Some of you are owing your mom. You are owing your dad. You are owing your siblings. They have not said the gospel from you. You are a debtor. You are owing. And will forever remain debtors until we leave this earth. And we'll keep paying the debts. What a privilege. You know, a 2 hour teaching on evangelism is useless if we don't preach. A 4 hour teaching on prayer is useless if we don't pray. This service now can be a useless service for you if by tomorrow or even this night or before Sunday you don't win one soul and drag the person in his ear to church. Some of you that came for LMP, you know I was talking about this yesterday. Anakazo. Where you compel people to come into the house of God that my house may be filled. So this can be a useless teaching. It can be a total waste of 2 hours if you don't begin to get people saved. Are you following me? It can be a total waste of 2 hours. Glory to God. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Glory to God. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Owe no man anything but to love one another. And that love is to preach the gospel. Is to preach the gospel. Go back to that. Before we pray finally. Go back to that. That John 20 verse 23. I said you should leave message later. I love the message. Is actually very interesting. It's actually very funny. But it's actually a question I want to ask some people. Verse 23. If you forgive someone's sins that are gone for good, if you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? That's a limit. In Atame. That angel, what are you going to do with it? If you refuse to forgive, people say, what are you doing with them? What are you going to do with them? So what are you gaining? What he's trying to say is, what are you gaining by not preaching the gospel? If you not preach the gospel, what do you gain? What are you going to gain? What are you going to gain? We have a responsibility. Necessity is laid on you. You have an assignment. Glory to God. To preach the gospel. And it's a good thing that that's our caption. It should always wake you up. That there is necessity laid on you. Woe is me. That should always check you. Should always wake you up. That we are owing the world. I hope I have not wasted my time. And I hope that by tomorrow, someone will hit the streets. I hope that from this evening, someone will can begin to forgive sins. We can begin to remit sins in his workplace. Remit sins in his workplace. Remit sins on the street. Remit sins in his office. Remit sins in his school. Remit sins everywhere. I wish you can go and begin to forgive people's sins. Because if you don't forgive their sins, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? So I charge you as I close. First, you learn that our salvation is greater than miracles. In another way, our salvation is actually the greatest miracle. So God has wrought a greater work in us. And we must wrought that work in men. God has worked a greater work in us. And we must work that work in men. And that's why we rejoice in the facts of salvation. And we preach the same. We preach the same. We preach the same. We preach the same. I'll give you one last scripture, then I'll close today. One last scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. You know what that means? When you talk about the terror of the Lord, knowing what will befall the men that are not saved, knowing what it means to live your whole life in darkness, knowing what it means to live your whole life in sin, knowing what it means to be a child of Satan, we persuade people and drag them into the kingdom. So I want to challenge you. There is a greater work to be done. That work of turning men from darkness into light. Turning men from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a work that is calling all of us. It's a debt we owe all sinners. It's a debt we owe our family. It's a debt we owe our classrooms. It's a debt we owe our workplaces. It's a debt we owe everybody we meet on the streets. That's why evangelism days in your church should not be a time you miss. And even beyond those evangelism days, you should have time you reach sinners. Every day, if possible. If not possible, every 2 days. If not possible, every 3 days. Okay, every week. At least there should be someone. They that believe in me, the works I do, they shall do. But greater works than this shall they do. For I go to my Father. He has gone to his Father. It's time to walk. He has gone to his Father. It's time to walk. He is seated right under the Father. It's time to walk. So how many souls have you won from January till now? And how many souls are you going to win from now till December? Must I go and empty-handed? I get the point. From now till December, how many souls? From now till January, how many souls? From January till now, how many souls have you been able to win? And how many more are we going to win? Jesus is counting on us. God is counting on us. Heaven is counting on us. It's such an honor and such a great privilege to be able to forgive the sins of many. So I ask you the last question. If you don't forgive people's sins, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with the sins of the men of this world? Jesus has paid. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. This is the second Thursday in September. And we are in the last quarter of the year. I believe that through your hands, 30 more souls can be added. I believe that through your hands, 20 more souls can be added. I believe that through your hands, even 50 more can be added. Saved and discipled. This is not time to actually feel yourself. It's a time to actually ask yourself a question. This year is coming to an end. Have I really won any soul? Apart from noise. Can I point 5 people in my church and say, these 5 people, 2022, God gave them to me. I got them saved. I followed them up. I planted them. Stand up and do the works of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. We are going to have time to pray. We're going to have time to pray. And to pray and pray and pray and pray for sinners. I'm going to give you 10 to 15 minutes to do that. To pray and pray and pray and pray for sinners. If there are people that you're going to, because there should be people. We are debtors to a world filled with darkness. To a world filled with sin. We are debtors. And we must rise and pay our debts. Lift your voice. Let me hear you pray. I'll just stop here. Let me hear you pray. Make sure you're praying. I will stop you. I'll leave you for now. I won't interrupt you. I just want to take your time and pray. Make sure you're praying with every intensity. Contend for the souls of men. Souls can never be too much. like some of you are praying. Pray like that. Pray like that. Jesus counts on me. He counts on you. If you're in any good church here, hold your hands together. All over our centers, make sure your hands are held together. Just make sure someone by your center, from your center, from your city, from your state, hold the person. We are going to receive men in this place. We are going to receive men. The men that God has given to us. You know, God spoke to me right now, and I don't know who this word is for. He said, fail at anything, no matter what you are failing at, never fail at preaching the gospel. I don't care what is not working in your life, whether it is your health or it is anything, while the devil is trying to run riots there, never fail at preaching the gospel, because that's his target. I don't care whether your finance is working or not, never fail at preaching the gospel. That's what Satan wants to do. Lift your voice, contend for men that we are going to win and pray to Jesus. We have the greater work to do. No matter what you are failing at, never fail at preaching the gospel. Never fail at winning men. Never fail at winning men. evangelism, the fire of the gospel, to see men saved in their numbers. Name we pray. Hearing that word again, never allow anything that the devil makes you feel like you are failing at to make you fail at preaching the gospel. Never let anything that the devil makes you feel is not working to make you fail at turning men from darkness into light. The nations are ours. You know, the Bible said, ask and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. And I've kept telling us that verse is actually about Jesus. Are you getting the point? Well, I think that's Psalm 110, if I'm not mistaken. What Psalm is that? Psalm 2, yes. He said, ask and I will give you the nation. Put it up, Psalm 2. But I'm just going to show you that, then we'll close. And you will see why it's very, why I said the nations are ours. Psalm 2 and verse 8. Notice in verse 7. Verse 7, he said, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. That's about Jesus. This day have I begotten thee. Verse 8, he now said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the hidden for thy inheritance, and the utmost part of the earth for thy possession. So this is about Jesus. Thou shalt pray the throne of Aaron. So Jesus has asked, and God has given him the nation for his inheritance. The hidden for his inheritance. So if the hidden and the nations have been given to Jesus, then they belong to us too. Because Jesus not received them for himself. He received them through us actually. We are the one that will go and win them and claim them. You know, I love how message puts this place. And recently I was thinking about it. That message is actually very correct. You know, and I'll tell you why he put it that way. Put up message. Glory to God. I love how message put it. And I love the way, I love how they put it that way. Psalm 2. And verse 8. Hallelujah. It says, what do you want? Name it. Nations as a present. Continents as a prize. So God was talking to Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead. And you know, he started Jesus from the dead that he was born. Do you remember? Do you remember? It was the day he was raised that he was born. So just like you're telling your newborn baby, what do you want? Toy car? I get the point. Nations as a birthday gift. Continents as a prize. So the nations and the continents of the world has been given to Jesus as a gift. And today, we will go and reap our harvest. We will do the greater works. I'll say this to you, friends. To whom much is given, much expected. Much has been given to the Nigerian church, right? To the 21st century church, to the New Testament church, and much is expected of us. Let's between now and Sunday have one soul. Between Sunday and next Sunday, have two souls. Like that way. That's the best way to close this year. Hallelujah. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.